Welcome to Susitna Writer's Voice, area writers reading their work.
Greetings, welcome to Stardate Susitna. I'm Kathleen Fleming. After a run of cloudy weather, I am craving some star time. Guess the Oscars will have to suffice for today. Happily, the forecast is calling for some clear skies midweek, so I better tell you what to expect in a starry sky this week and next. Let's start with the moon. Sun and moon joined for a spectacular annular eclipse Sunday morning. Images are on the web now from southern South America and southern Africa. The ring of fire happens when the moon is further than average from the Earth and is therefore a little too small to cover the entire sun. A brilliant circle of light surrounds the dark disk of the moon in a weird steely gray sky. This was the first of two solar eclipses this year. The next one is the all-USA total solar eclipse on August 21st of this year. Since this joining of sun and moon can only happen at the time of new moon, the dark of the moon was Sunday, and this week La Luna, in her continual trek eastward through the zodiac, returns gradually to the evening sky. If the western sky is clear Monday evening, you could take the young moon challenge and look for the very thin crescent an hour or so after sunset, generally above where the sun went down and directly below Venus. Spring is the best time to spot the youngest possible moon. Each evening this week, the crescent will be growing thicker as it sets later and later, as well as further and further north. By the time La Luna is at first quarter, with the right half of the near side illuminated, she'll be setting in the vicinity of the Alaska Range giants, like the midsummer sun. If you're into that, check it out next week, Sunday night, Monday morning, around 4 a.m., first quarter moon near Foraker and Denali. Don't you just love the waxing crescent phase? It's so graceful. During the partial phase of a total solar eclipse, the sun is also a crescent, as it was for about 3 hours Sunday morning, southern hemisphere. Right now, Venus is also a crescent. The best way to see the slender shape of the goddess of love is to use a telescope during early twilight before the contrast between brilliant Venus and a dark sky becomes too great. Venus is hanging out in the constellation Pisces, setting around 10 p.m. in the west-northwest, but won't be there for long. It's moving quickly this month toward the sun. Conjunction, without a transit, will be March 25th. Anyway, three crescents in 1 week, and two of them visible from Alaska. Nice. The solar system is really quite flat, with all eight planets and most of the asteroids orbiting the sun in the same plane. Result is that our moon and the planets move through the background of stars along the same path, the path of the sun, called the ecliptic. Small variations make it so that objects pass above or below each other instead of precisely in front or behind each other. Venus, for example, is about 8 degrees above the ecliptic right now, and when the moon moves through the vicinity, it will be about 2 or 3 degrees below the ecliptic. All that to explain why La Luna scoots a whopping 11 degrees beneath Venus on Monday. When you search for the super-thin lunar crescent Monday around 7 p.m., turn your binoculars on Venus and see if you can tell that she is a crescent, too. Just to the left or east of Venus is Mars, nowhere near as bright as the goddess. The moon moves 5 degrees below Mars during our daytime on Wednesday, March 1st. By the time it's dark Wednesday evening, there will be a nice lineup of Venus, Mars, and the waxing moon. Uranus is in the mix, too. If the sky were clear Sunday evening, I'd look with binoculars for a pale blue dot of light about a moon width below Mars. Mars is slowly moving east, so any clear evening this week, it's worth looking for the gas giant planet that's out beyond Saturn and only a little fainter than what naked eye can easily pick out on a clear, dark night. Mars less than 1 degree above Uranus this week. Finder charts are available online. Curious about elusive little Mercury? At the start of March, the innermost planet rises before the sun in the eastern sky. is on the far side of the sun on Monday the 6th, and by the end of March, Mercury will be following the sun into the western sky. Yeah, the winged messenger of the gods is fast and difficult to see from Alaska. We'll have a better chance to see him in early April. The post-midnight sky features Granddaddy Jupiter, brightest object in the AM. I hope you've been able to notice where Jupiter is relative to bright star Spica. The gas giant is slowly retreating westward above Virgo's brightest star. Keep watching as they rise earlier and earlier in the night. If you have a low eastern horizon, you might see Jupiter as early as 11 p.m. already. Saturn is at the bottom of the ecliptic where the sun turns on the winter solstice. Therefore, the ringed planet is not a viable target here in the far north. And that covers the planets. Remember what an occultation is? I've explained it many times over these many years. It's when the moon moves right in front of a planet or bright star, and we can watch it naked eye, or better yet, through binoculars. This coming Saturday, the moon occults the brightest star in Taurus, Aldebaran. This will be very exciting for observers in most of the U.S., but not Alaska. With the moon being at first quarter, it's the dark half that is the leading edge as La Luna sneaks up on Aldebaran from the right. I think that for viewers in Alaska, the moon will be ever so slightly below Aldebaran right at the time of sunset, so our sky won't be dark enough to see it anywho. Well, the occultation is about 10 p.m. Eastern Time, 9 p.m. Central, 8 p.m. Mountain, and for folks in the Pacific time zone, 7-ish. I've looked up the time Aldebaran will disappear for my nieces in the Bay Area. Aldebaran will blink away at 7:02 and 8 seconds for observers in San Francisco. Mark your calendars for Tuesday the 7th. Why? Make this notation. Look at moon through binoculars. Actually, any time you can see the moon is a good time to get a closer look, but on the evening of the 7th, La Luna will be 9.5 days past new moon, and it's my mostest favoritest view of the Terminator line, the sunrise region on the lunar surface where the long shadows make the features look so dramatically 3D. When the moon is about 9.5 or 9.75 days old, you can see in the upper quadrant a feature called the Jura Mountains at the edge of Sinus Iridium, the Bay of Rainbows. Just the tops of the curve of the mountains are illuminated. This bright semicircle loops out into the lunar night and is simply spectacular through binos or a telescope. Tuesday the 7th. Let's hope the evening is clear enough. Interest is mounting for this year's total solar eclipse across the U.S. in August. You can get all sorts of information online, and whole books have been written about it. Lots of businesses and organizations are offering eclipse tour packages from a few days to a couple of weeks, and in addition to viewing sites near the center line, include a range of interests from national parks to cultural centers. Ads in the back of astronomy periodicals and online sites offer camera and telescope filters and eclipse viewing glasses. Multi-day outdoor parties with music and vendors have been organized. Cities near the center line have events with astronomers giving pre-eclipse lectures. Eclipse festivals are planned for a huge influx of visitors and hopefully have some sort of traffic plan in place. I know it sounds like a zoo, or more like a nightmare if you're thinking about driving into and out of the zone on eclipse day. If you know someone near the center line, just hang out there for a couple of days, be part of a walking-only eclipse block party, or backpack into a lovely viewing site for a few days. Better to avoid driving for a few days around August 21st. That'd be best. A partial eclipse will be visible throughout North America and most of South America, but you gotta be within the 90-mile-wide path to see the sky go dark. The planets and bright stars come out. The birds fly off to their nests in the middle of the day. Wow. In Hawaii, for example, the sun will rise 25 minutes after first contact. Maximum eclipse is about 20 minutes after the first ray of sun appears above the ocean. At most, the moon will cover only 27% of the sun as viewed from Hawaii. Then last contact, when the partial eclipse ends, happens at 7:25. More than an hour after the eclipsed sun rose. Won't that be a spectacular sight? and photo through a proper filter. Thick crescent above the ocean. In Talkeetna, the sun will be up to 43% eclipsed at 9:18 a.m. on August 21st. Do not think you can wait until August to start thinking about this. You'll need to have your eclipse shades or filters in advance. I will be in the path of the shadow and not here to host any viewing party. Maybe the Park Service can take over for me as they have for previous partial solar eclipses. If you need any help with your planning, you can contact me through KTNA, check out any number of websites, and take a look at the book I've left behind the counter at the Talkeetna Public Library. That includes detailed maps, weather data, timing details, and photography tips. No one should be caught off guard, unprepared. Tell your friends and family, pick up a packet or two of info and eclipse shades available at the KTNA office for yourself and your contacts. I can even personalize the packet with start and end times for any location if you want to send a packet to folks outside Alaska. People are excited to learn about this. It's not just me. Anyway, the wonderful annular eclipse Sunday morning in South America and Africa was just the taste of the most dramatic, predictable, natural event on Earth, a total solar eclipse. Yeehaw! Enjoy the waxing moon over the next couple weeks, Venus as the evening star in the first half of March. Reddish Mars will remain an evening delight through the spring. Jupiter will be accessible earlier in the night as Earth slowly pulls alongside planet number 5. And despite the fact that in a few months we in the far north will have perpetual daylight, you'll be asked to fuss with all of your various clocks before the next Stardate Susitna airs. 2 a.m., March 12th, spring forward. Good grief. Anyway, have a great week and keep looking up.
You've been listening to Susitna Writer's Voice, a production of Talkeetna Community Radio. You can hear these recordings anytime at ktna.org. New contributors are always welcome. You may call the station at 733-1700 for more information.